This podcast is brought to you in part by Bud Light and Fortnite, neither of which are actually associated with this podcast. I just have both of them in the background. What's up, everybody? I'm wearing the same exact clothes. I got the same exact tone of my voice because I'm doing this in the same exact day that I did the intro. Pretty interesting stuff. I just got excited about doing the, I always like telling people like my story of YouTube and stuff like that. So I'm excited about, you know, going through this list and actually accomplishing something for a change. And the first thing I had on my list, which I've pretty much talked about and what you might, you know, initially know me for, and that's YouTube. YouTube has changed my life. The reason that you're probably sitting here watching me is because of YouTube, and the reason I'm not at a 9-to-5 job is because YouTube. The reason that I'm comfortable talking to a camera in a fucking room with nobody else in here is because of YouTube. Lots of awesome things came to do with YouTube, but it's also has, you know, one of the lowest points of my life also has to do with YouTube, such as like the termination of my YouTube. So not necessarily YouTube's fault, but shortly after I hit 2 million subscribers, I woke up one morning and the whole thing was gone. You know, years worth of videos, years worth of just, you know, the YouTube grind. Okay, we'll start with that. That's just a little tidbit, and that's all I'm going to go into the termination, because that's going to be eventually its own little segment talking about the termination, because I had, you know, the worst anxiety ever, because I would wake up every single day hoping that I didn't get that violation that ended my channel. But let's see how it all started here. And let's see if I can word it the right way. I might not be like the best storyteller ever, but this is kind of how it started. Call of Duty was massive when I was in college, throughout my whole, you know, 4-3 years of college, however the hell long I was in college. It was massive. Everybody was playing Call of Duty. And it's basically exactly how Fortnite is right now, how people are just exploding like ninja and stuff. That's how Call of Duty was back when I started this YouTube channel. It started with me playing the game, and I would go on to YouTube, which I wasn't that big into YouTube, and I would go on to YouTube and I would, look at people, at their videos on like how good they were at this Call of Duty game. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, this YouTube thing is kind of cool. You know, maybe, you know, I'm pretty savvy with computers and internet and stuff. And I was like, maybe I'll make a YouTube channel. And instead of just creating a random username, I thought, well, shoot, you know, if I eventually decide to make YouTube videos, then I need to figure out what type of YouTube videos I'm going to make. And I'm going to make that name to surround, you know, the content of my videos, rather than just putting like my real name, Kyle, or, you know, in my last name. So this leads into my biggest regret of doing things on YouTube, and that would be the username Mr. Technical Difficult. I've explained this to a lot of people. People always ask, what in the fuck is Mr. Technical Difficult? So like I said, this series is basically to answer all those burning questions that people always have for me all the time. And nowadays, I've kind of shied away from that name. It's just a long it's just a long, drawn-out name that's not even like easily recognizable or searchable. I mean, it's just a piece of shit name. It has Mr. at the, it's just so stupid. But basically, I thought when I, you know, at the time, I wasn't really focused on the game side of things. I'm like, I love technology. I love gadgets and gizmos, you know. What if I made this YouTube channel around helping people with their gadgets and gizmos? Huh. What's the first name that pops into my head when somebody needs help with something? Oh, they're having technical difficulties. And I'm like, holy shit, that will be my name. Technical difficulties. That sounds perfect. Even though people call me that anyway. And they do say difficulties, even though it's difficult. It's still to this day, people say that. So that's what I was like, I'm going to design this channel around fucking helping people with their damn digital camera, you know, or help them with their phone, help them with their GoPro, help them with their, you know, literally anything. I'm going to do it. Their microphone, whatever they need help with, I'm going to help them out. And then eventually, I'm going to be making money so I can buy all these gadgets and give reviews and stuff on them, yada, 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 and help people out. Well, that didn't pan out at all, and I started posting gaming stuff on this Mr. Technical Difficult, and then once it started catching traction, I couldn't switch it at that point. Like, that's my brand, Mr. Technical Difficult. Just listen to the jing of that thing. It sounds so shitty. Mr. Technical Difficult, you know? And nowadays, I just have, like, Epic MTD. It's just kind of what I'm rolling with because on Instagram, I do some cool tomahawk throws, basically. And it's so much easier to say Epic MTD than Mr. Technical Difficulties. Difficulty, what is it? You don't even fucking know, you know? So basically, that's how Mr. Technical Difficult came around. Probably, like, my most regretful thing is that name. I wish I would have just done, like, Kyle is cool. You know, something so simple that, you know, it's easy to tell people, because now when you go to somebody and you say, hey, have you seen Mr. Technical Difficult's videos? And they're like, huh? And, you know, they're probably going to say no. And then, you know, if that person goes home, you know, if I tell somebody, go check out Mr. Technical's videos when you get home, they're going to get home and they're going to be like, Mr. Techno, what the fuck? I don't remember that. Fuck it. I ain't going to search it. You know, but if it was something super, super easy, like, have you seen Clit Tickler's videos? And like, haha, Clit Tickler, that's pretty funny. Like, I'm going to go search that guy. Way, way easier to remember than some corny ass shit that's Mr. Technical Difficult. So that's how the name came about. And this is during this big Call of Duty blowing up and basically doing what Fortnite is doing right now. And so then I'm like, well, shit, like I see a lot of people that are posting gaming stuff on their YouTube accounts when I'm looking, you know, at people's videos because the game is so popular. I want to see, you know, people play the game really well. So I started doing some, you know, I would search Call of Duty on YouTube, and this dude kept coming up. His name was White Boy 7th Street. You know, he was really entertaining to me. I'm like, wow, this guy's pretty cool. He's entertaining. He's funny. He's unique. He's kind of got like a unique voice. Like, this is cool. I'll watch some of his commentaries. And back then, that's when commentaries were pretty much like the go-to. You know, I don't necessarily know what people are doing now, but like commentaries were like, that's how you would judge people, basically. Like, who is your favorite commentator? Like, it was just somebody that would talk over, you know, video gameplay, and like they could talk over, you know, literally anything and do whatever they want. But I kept seeing this dude, White Boy 7th Street, and I became to watch some of his videos. And in one of his videos, he said something about making money off of these videos. And I was pretty naive at the time. I just kind of watched people and, you know, I didn't really pay attention to the ads or anything. And apparently, you can make money from posting these videos. And that's when like my aha moment hit, because I've been watching this guy for a while. He was one of the more popular dudes. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, I 100% could be funnier than that guy. Like, he was, you know, people liked him because he was a funny Call of Duty guy, you know? So I'm like, I can be funnier than this guy. Not a knock on him. He was funny, but I'm like, I could do like some wild and crazy shit to get people to like my content. And I could be funnier than this guy, right? So that's when the process starts. Okay, Kyle, I want to do gaming stuff. How the hell do I start by doing that? Like, this dude has his game on his video looks amazing. Like, you know, it doesn't, he obviously didn't record it with his phone or, you know, a third party camera. He did something different that I was unfamiliar with to get that game on to his computer, you know, at perfect resolution. Like, how in the fuck do I do this? Like, this is what I gotta do. You know, so it came down to doing some Google searches. Google was definitely around back then. Doing some Google searches, and it was called a HPOG HD PVR, or DVR. I think HD DVR. Basically, you plug your shit into it. It records the game, and then it feeds it to your computer. So you can play and record it on your computer. and it's pretty much as simple as that. So I'm like, cool, I need this thing, right? Well, as a poor college student, and I believe I was married at the time, I was married to Rachel at this time, after doing some research, I'm like, fuck, it's $200, and I don't have $200. Like, what am I going to do in this situation? Like, I'm going to have to stroke some dick in the corner? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to have to do to figure this out. But luckily, my birthday was coming up. And so I said to Rachel, I go, I want this Hapag HD PVR for my birthday to record me playing video games. And, like, nowadays that doesn't sound crazy. But back then, you know, sounds super fucking nerdy. Like, I'm gonna record games so people can watch me. It, like, nowadays it's common practice with Twitch, YouTube, and all everywhere. Like, even now your Xbox just records it for you. But back then, like, you got some weird looks, right? And so she pretty much laughed at me. And I've told people this story before, and I don't exaggerate it at all. Like, she laughed at me, and I said, I guarantee that this Hapag HD PVR, whatever the funk it's called, in this YouTube channel will pay for our house one day. 100%, you know, maybe not quote for, like, word for word. I don't know, you know, but I told her that this process will help pay for the house one day. Obviously, she laughed at me some more and said, whatever, if it's what you want, we'll get it for you. You know, I love you. You know, do what you got to do, playing your fucking Call of Duty. And she got it for my birthday. It took a while to kind of find my groove. You know, I didn't even know how to, like, talk over videos. You know, it was more just I remember recording, like, Aaron, my little brother, who was really good at Call of Duty, and he got this, like, 43 kill game in, like, 6 deaths, and I'm like, holy shit. This is our breakthrough moment. Like, this is the shit right here. Like, we're gonna post this. It's gonna get 2 million views. It's gonna just explode, and it's game over from there. Like, we're rich. We're fucking rich. You know, like, So that did not happen. It got, you know, no more views than the average video that I posted on the channel, and that was kind of the tipping point that I was like, well, you can't just post, you know, really good games. Like, you got to do more than that. And that's kind of when I was like, all right, I got to add, you know, the entertainment value to all of this. And I can't just do the same stuff that everybody was doing. Like, I can't just sit there and talk over a video game and, you know, say, like, well, how I was thinking this situation peeking around the corner, shot him in the foot. Like, I can't do that. I kind of got to add my own pizzazz to it. And it kind of started, I had a lot of funny stories in high school and just kind of these wild, you know, high school stories. And I'm like, well, shit, instead of me talking over the game about the game, which that's not fucking fun, but I do like listening to people talk, you know, so maybe people will listen to me talk about my high school story. So I did this series, you know, called Story Time with Kyle. And just some wild, you know, actually it wasn't even just high school stories, it was college stories too, but mainly just like being dumb fucks in high school. And I was like, holy shit, you know, I'm actually starting to get some traction and stuff. And if you've tried to post, we have a problem in America. If you've tried to post to some form of like social media platform, and you got this rush from getting, you know, like 250 views, like, this is where I was at. I was at a point where it's like, God damn, like, hey, I love these views. These views are cool, you know? So I was so desperate to get views on my stuff that I would literally open up like 50 tabs and put an auto refresh script on the page so it would refresh my videos. And that was at a point where YouTube would count those as actual views. So I was the dumbest shit ever. Like, I was seriously proud of myself because I got 1800 views on a video because I sat there and refreshed it. Like, I somehow at the time, you know, who didn't have that many views, like, I felt good about that situation. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, who's got the views now? You know, even though I literally just sit there and refreshed every single one of those views. But it was like a drug, man. Like when I actually, you know, people started, you know, I randomly hit like one video that kind of got a lot of traction to it. It's super random video. It was like a how to, it was some like how to video, like how to record yourself playing games or something so stupid. And that's how kind of like algorithms and stuff like work like that. Sometimes they'll just be some crazy video you post that you didn't even think was good at all, and then it would explode, you know. So yeah, I sat there and refreshed all my videos, but I had this like rush every time I would, you know, get these views, and I'm like, all right, I need to figure out how to, you know, get real views. So I needed to figure out content that, you know, only I could produce, you know, and that, so basically that was like stuff to do with me, you know, such as like my stories, and it eventually led to my big breakthrough, of prank calling prostitutes. That was my big break. And I ended up having there's like this big YouTuber commentator tournament, because I don't think commentary is as crazy as it used to be. That used to be like the top dudes were just people that would talk over games. There was like a big tournament, and I was in this tournament, and I made it pretty far in the tournament and gained a lot of followers from it. And so that was kind of like my big break. And then, you know, all the content that I'm going to get into on a different episode, you know, content based, like how I came up with the little kid on Xbox Live, how I came up with the hooker pranks, and stuff like that. But it kind of all evolved, you know, where it was like I had five series that people would tune into, the little kid on Xbox Live, a chat roulette series, this creeper on Xbox Live, where I would act like just like this shit would not fly this with this YouTube, you know, the way that things are going nowadays. Like I would act like I was a child molester in games. Pretty fucked up. And then that led into catching real life child predators, which in turn, the catching, you know, as cool as of a deed that sounds, that was part of the reason, you know, my channel was eventually terminated, because I got strikes on almost all of those videos. Even when I completely blurred out everybody in the video, I would still get strikes from it, for bullying, for these people who wanted to have sex with, or, you know, or have sexual conversations with a 13-year-old girl. I got in trouble for bullying them, for catching them. So exactly what Dateline To Catch a Predator does, but since I'm, you know, don't work for NSNBC or whatever, you know, I was getting in trouble. So basically, you know, once I kind of got the ball rolling with this stuff, I remember looking around. We had at graduation at the college I went to, Central Washington University, I had just hit 30,000 subscribers, and we went to this graduation. And like, it's funny, because I see a lot of influencers out there who hit these milestones. Like to me, when, you know, I having a large Facebook page, a large YouTube channel, when somebody says like, holy fuck, I just hit 10K, you know, for me it's like I've already, you know, 10K to me is just, because I'm so used to it, it's like, oh, like that's really not like much. But I try to think to like, okay, when I hit 10K, like I fucking was like, I like nutted, you know. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I remember at 100K, I said I was gonna give. I made this thing. It's like, all right, guys, when I hit 100K, I'm gonna give my car away, because I thought at that point, like, I was gonna be so damn rich that, you know, who cares? Whatever, that car's gonna be nothing when I'm gonna be driving in a fucking Lamborghini, you know. So these milestones, you know, it's crazy looking at other people hitting them, and it's like, you would think I would, you know, be like, oh, I remember when I hit that, that was awesome. But it didn't like hit the same. To me, it was like, man, why are you getting excited? Like, that's, you know, hopefully that's just the beginning for you, but you're getting fucking 100K, 500K, million, you know, like big time numbers. But at this graduation, I was looking around and they made an announcement, you know, there's 3,000 people here. And I kind of looked around and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I have 30, like my last video got 20,000 views. I have 30,000 followers. That's 10 times, you know, the amount of people that are here. Like, that's insane. Because to me, so what happens during the process of all these views and stuff, you don't start, you know, I still, you know, can post, I get 10,000 views per snap, and sometimes I'm like, fuck, like that's not enough, you know. But the when it comes to the internet, you don't really quantify those 10,000 people. It's insane, because if you want to be in a stadium with 3,000 people, you look around and you're like, fucking A, that's a lot of people. Like, this is so many people. But when it comes to a ticker next to a video that says the view count, you're not looking at those people as like random people. To get 100,000 views, 100,000 fucking people is so many people. But once you hit a certain point, you take that for granted and you don't really like... It's all about results, numbers, like, okay, well, let me think, 100,000 people, that's only going to make me $75, like, man, that's nothing. And you really do start, like, taking for granted, like, the amounts of people that like your shit. And I feel like that was part of kind of, like, my decline, because I was like, why would I post on this channel, you know, for only 30,000 views? For 30,000 people to appreciate your shit, like... regardless of you're making money, like it's a major accomplishment. And as through growth though, you kind of, everything sinks in and you kind of lose that, you lose that excitement. And I wish it was something that I could bring back, but it's kind of like this. So you, this may be terrible. Say you're walking down the road. Every day you walk down this road every single day to and from school. You have to be punched in the face by this kid every single time you do it. You know, he walks by you, punches you in the face. At first, it's going to hurt like a... This is a terrible analogy, but at first, it's going to hurt like a motherfucker, right? You're like, what the fuck, you know? But eventually, you're going to become numb, you know, after the 100th punch to the face. You're going to become numb to it, whether it's, you know, physical damage numb or just like, well, I know it's going to happen, like whatever. You know, you're going to become numb to that. And basically that's what happens throughout the growth process. You become numb to all these views and you just want more. It's like a fucking drug, you know. And then once that drug, you know, the views, you know, either level out or even decline, you know, you either... just keep doing that drug or you move on to the next drug, you know, such as like move on to the next platform like Facebook and things like that. So it's kind of like, it kind of fucks with you. Like, I should appreciate 10,000 views, but I just don't. And it's not that it's something I choose. It's just mentally like it's tough. And I want to appreciate, and that's what I'm trying to build back up is that appreciation for. And I've always treated it, I try to always make it a point to, you know, especially on like Snapchat or messages, to like, you know, talk to people like a normal person, say, hey, what's up? Like, you know, and all this stuff. And, but it's so hard, you know, like when I've, like one of my biggest viewed videos was, I think on Snapchat, or not Snapchat, but Facebook, a child predator video, which I'm actually, was actually in the video doing it. Within the first 12 hours, it got like 25 million views, and that's fucking insane, but that fucks up everything else, you know. It's like, all right, the next one I post, you know, fuck, it only has 1 million views, like, dang it, like, how are you gonna be disappointed at 1 million views? And that's not something I choose, and I'm not saying, like, okay, you're here watching me, I'm not saying I don't appreciate you at all, I'm trying to make me, like, get out of this view drug and appreciate everybody. If you follow me on my my stream on Twitch, which I just do it because I tell Rachel, my wife, like, hey, I'm going to stream. It's going to make me some money. So basically she can't say, like, don't do that, you know, or like, you're not gaming right now. Be like, hey, I'm making money. So what I tell people on Twitch, which I never promote the Twitch or anything to get people in there. It's just whoever's gets the notification, you know, come in there. It's not necessarily, you know, I'm trying to not be a numbers guy anymore. Like, if only 10,000 people come in here and watch this, or 1,000 or 500, I want to appreciate everybody. And that's what the YouTube shit and the Facebook shit did to me. It fucked me up. It told me, it like basically made me not appreciate, you know, all the viewers. And like I said, it's not by choice. It's just what the fucking system does. You know, if people with lots of views appreciated all the viewers, or, you know, perceived appreciation. Like, I can message Ninja right now and say, "What's up, dude?" Like, you know, like he ain't got the time. Like, and that's kind of how I always looked at it. Was like, God damn, I can't, if I had to respond to everybody, because people used to be pissed when I wouldn't respond, and they're like, "You got way too big. You think you're too cool?" I'm like, "No, dude, I just got 2,000 messages today, and I literally can't respond to everybody." So I'm going off on this wild ass tangent. But yeah, you know, looking around 3,000 people in the stadium, I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's when it kind of sank into me, and I'm like, no way. Like, this is 10 times the more amount of people than this. Follow me on my YouTube channel. Like, this is insane. And it's crazy when you're growing on YouTube, because you're satisfied at every point. You're like, 20,000. Holy shit, that's awesome. 30,000. Holy shit, that's awesome. 100,000. Oh my God. You know, 500,000. Holy shit. You know, 1,000,000. Holy shit. But along the line, somewhere, it's like you hit this point of satisfaction. And once you're satisfied in life, ladies and gentlemen, I believe you don't give it your all, and that's kind of where I hit, and that's what I'm trying to fucking reverse mentally, you know. But so yeah, that's how the YouTube channel started. My wife doubted me. I did end up purchasing our first house with stuff from YouTube. Ended up purchasing our second house with stuff from the website and Facebook. And it was kind of, you know, it was crazy, because moving into our first house, I think we were like 22 or 23, I want to say. And, you know, it was a pretty nice house that people my age weren't, you know, necessarily financially able to do something like that, you know. So it was kind of crazy just walking in there like, holy shit, like a couple years ago, you know, I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. I had gone to school and I didn't get a law and justice degree. I didn't pay the $35 fee to actually get the degree, but I completed all the classes, because once I was done, I was like, I don't want to do this shit. Like showing up and, you know, having somebody tell me what to do for however many hours it is. I was like, I can't do that. Like, that's just not my style. Like, even if it was I had a job where I would drive around and take pictures of cars, which was a pretty cool job. But I just couldn't, you know, I'm like, I just couldn't see myself doing that for, you know, even just an extended period of time. And so that's why I was even more driven by, you know, like the YouTube side. But what's hard about like these days is, you know, I've attempted to like come back and make YouTube videos, but the drive just hasn't been there, because I show up and I post something and I'm like, God damn, like, this is just the same shit I've just been doing. And I, you know, it's kind of, if I really wanted to like start over and start fresh, you know, which I pretty much have, you know, I luckily I have the Facebook and other social media platforms to promote this new YouTube channel. But me and Colby had a pretty good talk today, man. It's like the motivation factor. It's like, let's see how I put this the right way without screwing it up. The motivation factor, you know, on the YouTube side, just necessarily hasn't been there as much as it should, because it's hard to come back to the YouTube platform and have people who know me from the past, and all they want me to do is post the same stuff I've always posted. And that's why I've completely like abandoned my two other channels. I will give them a notification on those channels, like, hey, I'm over here, you know, podcast format, you know, there will be some vlogs and stuff like that. Don't expect the same stuff you've seen before. If there is something that I've done before that I do on here, you know, expect that, you know, as kind of like a treat. Because one, I just can't do that stuff anymore. It will get immediately banned, demonetized, kicked off the platform. So I feel like this is the best way to motivate myself, because I love doing podcast format. And I had to just start completely fresh, just because, like I said, the people are going to expect, you know, the same old shit, when that's not going to be the case. You know, I'd rather start fresh doing new based content, you know, still doing funny stuff, But I think that's what really needed to happen was a complete overhaul, refresh, podcast format, duplicating the videos and stuff on the channel. And so we're here now. But what else? YouTube, pretty much how things went down, how things are. There will be some people that say, which people love to say this stuff. They say, "Oh, you must be out of money, so you're starting a new YouTube channel." Well, that's not the case. To be honest, I made decent money on YouTube, you know, especially when I first started, because I was with Machinima. So they were one of the, like, the top dog YouTube networks back in the day, and they completely got, you know, screwed up because they were promising people more money than they are actually making from the videos. That's actually when I saw like the crazy paychecks. Was at the very, very beginning, and it was only like a couple months. $2 per every million views. So the big paychecks, you know, $20,000 to $30,000, you know, for a month worth of work. But that instantly changed once this Machinima company went down, and it, you know, there were no more guaranteed contracts. It was all, you know, it was all based on your actual ads that were shown, instead of just guaranteed, you know, $2 per every 1,000 views. So the big money was back then. And then, you know, I made decent money throughout, you know, on a monthly basis. But that, I mean, the way that I basically, to make, you know, pretty good money, when I say pretty good money, you know, $8,000 to $12,000 a month, which is really good money, I basically had to post every single day. And nothing wrong with it. I had the time, I had, you know, the energy and things to do that every single day. But once I got terminated, I knew that, you know, I started a new channel, which was my gaming channel, but it still just was never the same. I still got violations and stuff that I was just tired of dealing with, and, you know, moved on to Facebook. And so I'm trying to get the point across that I'm not coming back here and doing this. I've wanted to make, and I've been telling Colby probably for the last year, like, I want to make a podcast documentary. What's just changed is I'm tired of being lazy. I'm tired of, you know, I sit here and make excuses for why I don't do certain things, like, oh, the kids, but it really has nothing to do with it. And to be completely honest, like, I'm not going to pull out any strings or anything for getting this channel monetized. Neither, the podcast, I'm not pulling any strings to try and hurry and get ads or anything like that. Like I said, this is therapy session, ladies and gentlemen. So if that's what you're thinking, that I'm coming back here to just make bum fucks of money, first off, you know, unless I'm getting millions of views, there's not bum fucks of money. So, let's just put that out there right there. And like I said, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I've already was pretty honest on some like numbers that I did from YouTube. So there's that. Trying to think if there's anything else without going into kind of these other parts of the series and details of what I actually did on YouTube, you know, such as the series types and whatnot, but I don't think there really is. So I think this is actually a good point to shut her down. Ended on that whole awkward money note, you know. And that's, I've done it before. I've come back to my YouTube, you know, after a couple of months, and people are like, oh, he's fucking doing it for the money. But it's hard. Like, people think, like, just because you have a million followers means that you're making a shitload of money regardless, you know. And if it was making, you know, a lot of money, and that's what I kind of say to people, like, well, I just stopped posting. Like, if it was making hand over fist money, like, don't you think I would have like, kept posting, you know? But, I mean, it wasn't the decision on why I stopped posting in the first place. I stopped mainly on YouTube because I got my shit terminated, my whole livelihood terminated one fucking morning, and I knew, you know, if it's happened once, it's going to happen again. So I knew that I couldn't put my life into this anymore, and I had to kind of move on and do other shit. So let's end it on that. episode one. I'm going to call it the YT life. That's what we're going to call it. Should I call it the YT life? Because it's gonna taper into things that are outside of YouTube. But we're just going to call it YT life one YouTube. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's get real. Let's get close. Everybody get close.